Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hey folks, welcome to the Sloppy Boys, where we take a deep dive into the drinks that you love. I'm Jeff Dutton, along with Mike Hanford.
A Negroni.
Oh, wow.
Spagliato.
Ooh, stunning.
With Prosecco in it.
And Tim Kalbakis.
What is up?
Spagliato stylies?
Mike, you didn't know anything about the Spagliato when it came up on the pod. We talked about nothing.
Now you're all Spagliato.
I'm finally caught up on my memes. I'm sorry, I've been busy.
You dragged them all to a file.
Yeah, my assistant gets them all ready for me week by week, and I just haven't hit it in a while. Yes, Negroni with Prosecco Spagliato. My God, I saw that and I said, "Oh, my heart's fluttering."
Yeah, and then, I mean, you had a stash of memes to go through. It was probably overwhelming.
Yeah, it's a lot of the same.
The rest of us had all that stuff doled out over a week, you know?
Yeah. It's boring when you watch all the memes right in a row because it's like, yeah, it's all the same shit. Oh, Timmy, easy, buddy boy, on that microphone.
Oh, did I break your ears?
Once we're recording on your microphone, you cannot touch it. You can't move a thing.
I'm gonna dodge the blame and put on you guys because you told me to tap my microphone and made me have to move my what do you call this?
Pop filter.
Pop filter. I had to move my pop filter, so then I had to move my pop filter back.
Uh huh. Mike.
Okay, oh great! Now the police are coming.
Off the deep end. He has gone off the deep end. Somebody needs to give him a Negroni Spagliato with Prosecco in it.
I thought that. Rather than rehashing the Negroni Spagliato with Prosecco.
Rehash? He's hashing for the first time.
Well, it's a rehash for the listeners if we have any at this point. This deep into the episode. Yeah. Wanted to say, dude, last week was a crazy episode. And we, you know, when we went nuts with the Sidewalk Slammer, we then had sort of done, we like recapped like, hey, folks, here's what happened. And then, but this week last week with the lineup with Mike Mitchell, we didn't do that on the podcast, but I feel like the listeners should hear about our atrocious hangovers.
Sure.
Terrible.
A day long.
It's a terrible, the lineup. Yeah.
A full day.
It kind of the week long. It didn't end for me. That's
you're still in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I haven't had that in a long time where it was like, I'm not a big hangover guy. I mean, the movies, of course, but
sure.
1, 2, and three.
Usually, if I'm really hungover, I just, you know, it's just the next morning, and then if it's something crazy, we can have a Bloody Mary and I'm fine. But this was a low. I never puked. I never had a headache, but I had a low, just unsettled feeling for 3 days.
Yeah. Just,
something was amiss with my body.
I had that thing where like you just feel like you have a dry mouth or something, or your chest is a little tighter, or your lungs.
It's called dry mouth.
Your lungs are a little bit like, hey, we need some real deal here.
Yeah.
Now, yes. I would expect that, Mike, I would think you wouldn't have had as bad a hangover because you had a couple of technicolor yawns on the day.
Yeah.
So then you got some of the forbidden substance out of you.
I fell asleep we were at Mitch's house. I fell asleep in Mitch's yard for a little while.
Yeah, well, that's nice, clean. That's a nice clean grass.
Well, I just went outside to get some fresh air and waiting for those pizzas to come back to come by. And I laid down, and the next thing I know, Mitch said, "Hey, you got to get out of here."
Oh yeah. We were in the Uber trying to reach you, couldn't reach you. Right. And we said, and then Tim and I said, "We just got to go. It's late. Mike's got to deal with himself." And then you did. You walked home.
I dealt with it. I soldiered through.
And you tweeted at 2 a.m.
Yeah, was it a good tweet? Oh, yeah, that was a good tweet.
Some of your best work.
My Tesla is a Mesla, and it was a picture of a Tesla that hit a streetlight.
Did Elon come after you for that one?
No, he did not. And I did before I posted that. I looked, it was from a story where all the people in the car were okay.
Oh, that's good.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Hey, one of the things that made that hangover worse... the unnecessary cracking of fresh Bud Lights in the home stretch.
Yeah.
And then tequila shots on the roof. Did we discuss that?
We did like Entourage style rooftop tequila shots at the end of the night.
Yeah, Mitch has got a nice roof, so it was nice to get up there and see the city.
Mitch has got a nice caboose.
I found that iPhone recording of our rooftop shots way later. Days later, I was going through my phone and I found this recording.
Oh, yes. It was
you
good.
Know, Mike, you mentioned the pizzas, and that was the travesty of the night. Is we finished the pod, we're hanging around, we're talking, we're drinking a little bit more. Mitch orders himself some Domino's pizza, right? He thought we were he was being a gracious host, letting us record our podcast in his home. And then he thought these three will move along and I'll get to have a Domino's pizza. But we lingered. No. We were longtime house guests, and then...
he was Richard Dreyfuss, and we were three little Bill Murrays.
He was like, "Guys, I got Domino's pizza coming, but it's for me." And we said, I said, let us have some of your Domino's, because we're hungry. I'll order more pizza.
Yeah.
And and I had...
two more! You ordered two more pizzas.
I've had some real bad luck in L.A. on like busy nights, of Saturday.
LA pizza's in shambles. A New York style.
Well,
pizza,
LA has the better pizza. New York has worse pizza than LA. But anyway, back to my point.
Yeah, I heard that before.
I was like, this is a high pressure pizza order, and this pizza better arrive. And I was putting it in pretty late on a busy night.
Right.
And so I ordered from two places.
Right, because you thought, I'm not putting all my eggs in one basket. Not in this high-pressure situation.
No, I was in a pressure cooker. I was in the bullpen.
You ordered two just assuming at least one would cancel?
I ordered Slasher Pizza, knowing that it's very popular. So then I also
naming names.
I ordered 800 Degrees, thinking it was more of a safe bet. They both neither ever arrived.
And what is that, like, the driver, you think? Like, it never went through, or what? What's going on in that?
One of them called and was like, "Hey, we don't have the ingredients you wanted," but an hour had passed, so I was like, fuck off.
Right.
And we don't agree. They hadn't, like, started making my pizza after an hour. Then the other one, the guy, this was a heartbreaker. The guy called me, and then I go outside onto Mitch's street, and I'm looking. I'm like, "I don't see you." And he's like, "Yeah, I'm here to pick up the pizzas." And I was like, "No, you're here to drop off the pizzas." And he's like, "No, I'm here to pick up the pizzas." And he thought that I was the restaurant, and it was after midnight.
Why would he think that?
I don't know. Maybe I just have that vibe.
Look, here's the thing. My God. This is midnight on Halloween Monday.
Yeah.
And you just know everything's upside down, topsy-turvy. You're not getting those pies. But it's funny that for the whole night, three pizzas were ordered from three different destinations. Only one showed up.
And it was Domino's. The original, kind of the original pizza delivery place.
Domino's is dominant in this case. Well, didn't they put like a lot more effort and stuff into their delivery? Like,
yeah, because they started the 30 minutes or it's free, didn't they?
Yeah, but I mean, like recently, wasn't like we're going to up our delivery game? Am I wrong about this? Maybe it's a different one.
No, yeah, they... I mean, I don't know about how, because I was just telling you guys about that Business Wars podcast, and they talked about how, like, historically, Domino's was like, we're going to focus, delivery is our thing in the 30 minutes. Yeah. They had to eventually stop the 30 minute rule because so many cars were crashing. But
so they were just like, the pizza itself can suffer, but it will arrive on time. Is that their philosophy?
I don't think they announced to the public that the pizza can suffer, but I will say more recently I read a thing where like the CEO of Domino's, like, you know how they're innovating with like the app and the tracker and then the delivery, like the cars and stuff, having the heat mm-hmm. bags and all this stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Domino's, they like think of themselves as a tech company. They don't think of themselves as like a fast food company. It's like, yeah, we have pizzas, but we're all about getting that away.
Yeah. You can think of yourself however you want. I think of us as a tech company. How about that?
Yeah.
I bet that like technology they used for the pizza tracker is what all like the Postmates and the Grubhubs and everybody use now.
Sure.
Because you can see it on its way.
Yeah.
You know, we're not a tech company, Jeff, but you know what we've realized is really we do a lot and we're wonderful guys.
Sure.
And we're artists. Mm-hmm. But really what we are is a small t-shirt business.
Right. You're not kidding.
We essentially sell t-shirts. Everything else we do is sort of making a splash for our t-shirt sales.
Yeah, it's promotion for the t-shirts.
We're fashion guys.
That's what they tell bands is like, that's cute, you make music and blah, blah, blah. But here's what you are. You sell t-shirts. Everything you do is designed to funnel down to people buying your shirts. And folks, if you want to support this pod, support this band, you got to get that little ass over to thesloppyboys.com.
Hell yeah.
The new web store is launched, and you got to get in now.
And it's not just a web store, it's a website. You can look at all different items you can purchase on that website.
Are you think that's the sexier topic? Website.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. Hey, we now have a website. Oof. Ooh, you HTTP.
You know, the internet can feel sort of overwhelming, but we have a site where you can settle in and relax.
Yeah, make it your homepage. Make it your only page.
Yep. Well, what do you say we get into a little booze news?
Sure.
Hit it.
I would love somebody out there who's a classical person. Make a classical version. Your booze news opening theme.
Front of the line pass.
Ooh.
That classical booze news theme was sent to us by King Kang the Kang, or Eric Kang. And if you have a booze news theme, email it to thesloppyboyspodcast@gmail.com. Mike, when you solicited classical themes, did you ever think one would actually get sent in?
No, I never thought that one would get sent in. And, you know, Kanger's a classic booze news theme maker, but boy, I was really hoping just for some strings, no wub-wub, no techno. That was a chilled out, what do you call that, Jeff? What's that type of music?
Oh, I don't know, maybe a little dubstep style.
Yeah, with the stuff that's very chilled out.
So you're saying it doesn't count? We should have, I, as the guy who picks the booze news theme, should have emailed it back to Kanger and said,
pick this shit out of there.
On the technicality, this shall not play.
This is good. This is good because now people know what not to do.
Listen very carefully to Mike Hanford's requests.
Now, I didn't know that classical song. Did you guys? I was thinking classical music. This is going to be like, duh, 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 duh. Give me some Looney Tunes.
Yeah, I knew it.
You knew it?
Yeah.
I used to wake up to that song on my alarm. It was a nice
God, that I always thought that would be like the funniest thing, and then I would do it for a little while and I was like, this sucks. Hearing that, like, it's not funny in the morning. It's never funny anymore.
What about this one?
Oh, that's the one. That's the one I had.
That's the other morning one.
Yeah.
That's how I woke up after the lineup.
Without the alarm.
Man. One of those is William Tell Overture. I think that's the beginning of... No, no, no.
William Tell, that apple-headed freak?
You know what's a good one? The 1812 Overture. When it gets to the end there and they're shooting the cannons off. Woo!
Hoo-wee.
No, Kanger, that was a good one. Thanks for bringing it up and bringing it in. And if you have a booze news theme, please send it to Tim. Help me out, dude. I don't listen to this part of the pod.
We already covered that. Let's get into the booze news here, folks. Now, Mike, you're a little behind on the memes. You just heard about the Negroni Spagliato with Prosecco, but maybe you came across this. And Jeff, I feel like you're pretty social media savvy. I'm guessing you saw this. There's a viral tweet that got everybody talking about beer, and this was fascinating to me. I'm texting you the tweet on the chain right now. Did you see this little beer chart? It's a little continuum of conservative to liberal. Okay, so a guy named Brent Brentington on Twitter made this little beer chart with an X and Y axis, and he placed beers on this chart from liberal to conservative and from working class to elite. And he, dead in the middle of all of them, is Miller Lite.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And that kind of, I could see that. That rings true to me. But then looking around, I would say all of these placements did feel insightful to me, but I never really thought about beer as a political thing before.
Right. I more thought of it as the elitist working class thing, but I guess that can
just price.
Right, right, right.
Here's what really got me. If you go into the corners and you see what's being like the extreme versions, I never really thought about it, but Michelob Ultra is ranked as elitist and conservative here, and I think that's very true because it's such a golf course beer. You know, like rich politician type guys out on the links with their can of Mick Ultra.
Right. Versus the elitist on the other side, on the liberal, you have your Voodoo Ranger IPA and your Lagunitas IPA. And those do sort of feel like,
it's like a $14 six pack.
Yeah. It's like a $14 hipster, expensive beer.
I've never heard of Paradise Park.
Me neither. That's kind of a weird one.
But I gotta say, I'm more on the liberal working class side. The Miller High Lifes, the Pabst. Budweiser is Pabst, Budweiser is right in the middle there on the working class line.
It's working class and it's teetering a little more conservative than liberal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then in the extremely conservative and working class, you have Bush, which I've never come across a Bush in the wild in like 10 years.
Yeah, that was college.
I grew up drinking Bush, but they have recently switched to a camouflage pack. So that's where that's coming from.
Interesting, interesting. Well, it's I drink beers from all around the political spectrum here, and I'm hoping to cross the aisle as we settle into the new terms.
Mike, you
you
probably of these drink Miller High Life the most, and that's working class liberal, right?
Probably, yeah.
I love it. That's a good one.
Budweiser, but I've kind of tended more towards the High Life. So what about you guys? Where do you land?
Sheesh. Mm. I order Bud out at bars a lot, but none of these really make it into my home anymore. I don't drink too much beer at home.
Yeah.
That's true. Bud Light really bottle for me. Bud Light bottle at you saw me drain a couple of those at Rustic.
Sure, sure.
And then if I can get a High Life, you know I'm doing it. Mm-hmm. And if I can get a little spaghetti in there, that's even better.
Hey. Yeah.
You know what I get probably above all these is a Negroni Spagliato.
Ooh, oh God.
Well,
here we go. I'm
caught up. This is interesting, though. You know what? Hey, can I get? Can we? How do you feel, Tim? Are you think you've covered this area of booze news?
Absolutely.
Something just came to me. It works well into this. I just saw some article that was talking about how beer cocktails are like surpassing beer, like huge these days. Beer beer is becoming not a big. I guess moneymaker anymore. And the thing this article was saying was like, if you go onto the Bud Light website, it's like not even, it doesn't even seem like a beer company anymore. It's all Bud Light seltzer stuff.
Really?
Yeah. And the big thing is, the reason that they claimed was because you can get cocktails to go in like cans and stuff, and you can get stuff delivered easier. Before it was like you go to the corner store and it's like, oh, they got beers here, but they don't have vodka and all that other stuff. And if you like cocktails, they now have cans that you can take
away. I mean, I've been hanging out with people out in the world from all walks of life. Mm-hmm. And the amount of times I hear, oh, I just don't want beer, is constant.
Hmm.
Yeah, and that's probably mostly for me.
Mookie, that guy never wants beers. Tim never wants beers.
No, too filling. I want one beer.
Too filling. I think I get beers, I think, mostly because I'm like, oh, there's so much shit. I also think I get drunker quickly on cocktails.
I downshift to beer. I'll do a couple fun cocktails, fun tikis, and then I'm like, I can't keep drinking at this rate. These strong spirits. And so I downshift to beer.
I reject these strong spirits.
Spagliato.
Beer's already, they overdid it. They got too fancy. Too many bars have a huge beer list. You should only just have one beer, and that's that. And there you have it.
Yep. Yep. Duff. Mm.
Duff. Well, is that it for booze news?
Mm-hmm. Wrap it up.
Are we up to date on all the newest?
Wrap it and crap it.
Memes.
The events. All right.
Wrapping it up.
Great.
Okay. The drink of the day. It has a French name. Mm-hmm. And I've always seen this name. And I've never been 100% confident on my pronunciation of it.
But you have a little Canadian running through your blood. So I think you're the man for the job.
Yes. But I don't want to misfire and shame my family. So on this show, when we have questions about how to pronounce a word, we know exactly where to go. Hit it!
Bonjour, this is Julien, the Frenchman who makes French pronunciation videos here on YouTube. And we are looking at how to pronounce this French phrase, meaning the old square or old square. So how do you go about pronouncing this? In French, in France, we would say it as vieux, silent X, vieux, carré, vieux, carré. But it'd be fine in English to say it as vieux carré, vieux carré,
vieux carré,
from French, vieux carré. Did you get this? Was this any helpful? Let me know in the comments. Don't forget to give it a like if you did like it. And I'll see you there to learn more about some useful French phrases and words that you may want to hear and nail the pronunciation of.
Okay. Okay, can we talk about this guy just for 2 seconds?
The way that he teases it when he's like, and the word is coming up, and you're about to hear the word.
I like how the end, once he's done with it, he's like, that is the word, if you can like and comment. He turns right
he's
into
trying
the
to hit a
department.
Minute. He could have just said, vieux carré.
No, he's got to get that monetization.
That opening where he's like, it sounds like he's just going up and up on the scale. Like, hello and welcome to the thing that we're talking about, and I'm going up.
Yeah. If I vieux keep carré. Talking about you, won't click away.
Vieux carré.
So it's vieux carré. Vieux carré.
The old square.
It almost sounds like one word when people say it. Vieux carré, the old square, which is what they called the French Quarter. People actually there, we call the French Quarter, but I think that if they were saying like right here, you know,
that would
square.
Be like us saying like, hey, I'm going to the American store. It's like, you know, it's redundant.
Yes. Hmm. Yes. So, oh, I haven't told you the place yet. Here it comes. The history. Oh, wait. So you guys heard or had anything?
No.
No and no.
I've never had, but I've seen it in a lot of cocktails.
I'm going in fresh. Mind blank.
I went out with a bunch
of... Well, you're going to have mind blown in a second. You know that emoji that's like mind blown? That's going to be huge.
That's good.
The historic Hotel Monteleone in New Orleans, Louisiana. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, Tennessee Williams, William Faulkner,
right?
Truman Capote, Tim Kalpakis. Okay. These are just a few of the great writers who have graced the halls there. Mm. Hemingway mentioned it in The Night Before Battle. Tennessee Williams mentioned it in The Rose Tattoo. Capote, his mom was living there when she was pregnant with him, and then she went to the hospital, had the baby, came home there, and he was a baby at this very famous
he was
hotel.
A baby there.
Short stay.
He was a baby there. Well, you're probably thinking, oh, he eats breakfast at Tiffany's every goddamn day. This I went there on my 17-mile saunter that I told you guys about in our hurricane episode. Yeah,
the epic stroll.
Yes, the epic stroll. And this is the fucking carousel bar, right? It's a revolving bar that takes 15, 16 minutes to do one lap. And it's kind of fun to be like, oh, I'll drink one round around that time. So when I went there, I was like, I want to drink something New Orleans-y. And I drank a Sazerac. Little did I know that that bar is where they invented the Vieux-Carré. And some fake out. I always thought, you probably might have been thinking it's a French drink, but it's a New Orleans drink.
Yeah, I was thinking, what rue did they invent that one on?
Mike? Yeah, what arrondissement am I going to find this fucker? Huh?
Yeah, what Sienne was nearby?
Yeah. What Eiffel? In what shape was the Eiffel nearby?
A tower shape.
Tower shape.
Anytime you go to a city, you always ask around, what kind of Eiffel you got here, huh?
What Eiffel you have around here? And in Seattle, they say, oh, it's a Space Needle Eiffel. All right. Checks Remember, out pretty fucking lit.
On the Comedy Bang Bang IFC show, there was a running joke in the writer's room I don't think ever actually made it to the series about the Eiffel Tower Hour that every French people are always watching a TV show called the Eiffel Tower Hour. And Americans are like, oh, great. Could you finish up watching that? Anyway, back to the drink. Yeah, head bartender Walter Bergeron invented this in the 30s. It's a split-based cocktail, cognac and rye. And we talked about in our Sazerac episode, there was a little bit of a debate of like, you should make it with rye or cognac, and it started one way, went the other. Here's a drink with fucking both of them. And I've seen old recipes. I've seen old recipes of this drink that have both Peychaud's bitters and Angostura bitters, which is weird. But the IBA.
Split base, split bitters?
Split base, split bitter?
This kind of reminds me of that movie Split.
Does it, Tim? No, it reminds you of the movie Split.
No, I lied for comedic effect. Uh-oh, I can't be funny on my own pod.
And guess what? It worked.
Would you guys like to hear the recipe for this elegant, stirred, New Orleans-y cocktail?
Yeah, pour faire-vous, farve.
Yes. S'il vous plaît, yes.
Yes, oui, oui.
IBA says, 1 ounce of rye whiskey, 30 milliliters. 1 ounce of cognac, 30 milliliters. 1 ounce of sweet vermouth, 30 milliliters. One bar spoon Benedictine. Who's got it?
I got it.
Boom!
Tim, you left it out for me on your doorstep in a nice little bottle. I couldn't be more appreciative.
A cute little bottle, huh? I bought this Benedictine because we did the Singapore Sling, and then we later used Benedictine in the Monte Carlo.
Yes.
After that, we're going to do two dashes of Peychaud's Bitters, which is a very famous bitters because it's in my Southern Sipper cocktail. Method: pour all ingredients into a mixing glass with cubes. Strain into a chilled cocktail glass. Garnish with orange zest and maraschino cherry.
Tim, you touched your microphone. I thought the world was ending over there.
Do I got to pick up a word?
No.
No, you got to pick up my fucking eardrums off the floor.
Your eardrums didn't break, but they fell out.
Now, Timmy, looking at this menu, looking at this recipe.
We do not have the right word for recipe today. This is crazy.
Let's decide, should we say menu or episode? When would we want to say recipe?
Huh? What did I say?
You said menu and I said episode.
Tim said episode earlier, you said menu.
Oh, okay.
Jeez, we haven't even had the Vieux Carré yet.
Vieux Carré.
Carré.
I'm looking at this and I think this looks like nothing more than a glorified Manhattan.
Okay, a cognac Manhattan.
Because it's got the whiskey, the vermouth, and bitters. I guess the Benedictine's sneaking in there.
Sure, but it could be better than a Manhattan because cognac is delicious.
Of course. I've got a Hennessy myself.
Have you even thought of that, Jefferson? Before you go running your mouth all over the pod?
I do think of these things, yes.
You know how somebody, they like cakes and candies, they call themselves a sweet tooth? If someone has a penchant for vermouth, they ought to say, I'm a vermouth tooth.
Mm. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
You wouldn't hear it much because it is a dastardly drink.
Nobody likes it.
Are we doing Vermouth Month?
It seems like
we've been doing.
Yeah, it seems like we're always kind of doing Vermouth Month around here.
Around here.
What with the episodes and menus we fall into?
Oh God.
Tim, you have a sweet vermouth you like. Spill the beans.
Name it. Antigua Carpano.
And I'm over here with Nwali Pratt?
I forgot what the fuck mine is. It's Dolan, I think.
Dolan.
That's
Dolan.
Good.
Dolan brand sweet vermouth. Get your vermouth a little sweeter.
Mooth me, baby.
Mooth me.
Put this mooth in your mouth. Wait, hold on. Put this mooth in your mouth. Okay, let's go.
Let's get moothed.
Mooth this.
All right, folks, we'll be right back.
Did you say the full thing? Did you say the full recipe with the orange and everything?
Yes.
Garnish with orange zest and maraschino cherry.
Had you not said?
I can't remember.
Oh, damn, I touched my microphone and you were...
Oh, it was during that part. I lost I lost interest.
Well, folks, we're going to go stir these up, and when we come back, we'll have a little vieux carré in hand.
Ooh.
Yes, when we come back, we will be drinking the drink, and the drink is called a certain name, and it is the vieux carré.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The Sloppy Boys is sponsored by BetterHelp. Hey folks, Mike Hanford from The Sloppy Boys here, and I wanted to ask you, do you ever have this feeling like you gotta get something off your chest? You know, you're walking around with something and I just gotta tell someone this, I just gotta fix this thing. It happens to us all. We all carry around these different stressors, big and small. That's just how it is. But when we keep bottling it up, it can start to affect us negatively, and that's not good. But therapy is here to help. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work on whatever's weighing you down. Now look, you know me, I've been to therapy, I'm the therapy guy, I love it. And I gotta say, it does help when you go in there and talk to the therapist and say, you know what, my two co-hosts piss me off on a daily basis, it's weighing me down, what am I gonna do? That of course is a joke example, but you get what I'm saying. You can tell a therapist what you're feeling, and they'll help you learn positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself, and it isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. Now, listen to this. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. That's right, you. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. That's pretty good. So, folks, get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/sloppyboys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/sloppyboys. Go in there, talk to somebody, get it off your chest. Have a great time.
Vieux carrés in hand. Let's see him.
Hold on.
Oh, Jefferson.
I spilled mine.
Can I be honest? I already fucked it up.
How?
I shook. I shook. Oh, I should have no, stirred.
It's supposed
I shook.
To be a smooth, viscous drink.
Well, I woke it up.
Look at that. Classic.
Ooh, not bad.
Classic Mike. Looking cocktail.
Looks like a Manhattan.
I I made two huge mistakes making this. At first, I'm making it. I'm kind of looking at the recipe, and I put an ounce of Benedictine in it. And I said, "Oh,
right, it is.
Start over." This is like the third thing I put in. So I start over, made it correctly. Then, as I'm bringing it over, I got it in a martini glass here. What do I do but spill it? A lot of it all over the place. And
a lot of it.
It's a sticky drink. And if you've spent any amount of time with me, you know I do not like to be sticky. I don't like the feeling.
Yeah, you like to be slick.
I like to be dry.
Not slick.
Not slick. If I'm slick, something's wrong.
Mike, celebrity bartender good. Jack Shrimp told us always add your most.
I know.
Most expensive.
Most expensive last. Because
oh, so
if
Mike,
you chuck
so
it.
So you did well. You did well. Most expensive last.
I don't know. There was already some stuff in there.
But did you throw it out or did you?
Yeah, because it was way too much Benedictine.
Well, I would put that in the fridge, personally.
That would have changed.
Yeah, that could be a little.
Yeah, but it was mixed with rye and something else too.
Is that so bad?
Sounds delicious.
All right, let's do
six.
I
guess it's not so bad. I probably could have. Yeah, well, you know what? It's down the sink now.
I was
flustered and frustrated. Oh, look at that, Jeff.
Yeah, thanks.
Frustrated. Come on.
Here we go.
Sips.
Oh, wow.
Fancy Manhattan?
Yes. That is very nice. Smooth.
And Tim, you got an orange there. I see it. No sneaking it by me.
I don't. I have a cherry, but the toothpick is orange, and it kind of makes you think. Oh.
And Mike, no orange for you, huh?
I got an orange peel in there.
Did you express it?
I ran the rim, and I dunked it.
Oh, nice. A thorough expression.
I'll tell you another reason I might be really liking this, because if you guys are saying it's like a Manhattan, I wouldn't like that. But the cognac I had was, I put it away, Cointreau.
Cool.
So it has orange in it.
You mean Grand Marnier?
Grand Marnier, that's right.
But that's not cognac. That's...
He
said one thing, he said a different thing, he said, that's right. Yes.
It is cognac. It's cognac with orange liqueur.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's
so
yours is going to be sweeter than ours. That's got a little sugary kick to it.
Yeah, I thought I had cognac, and then when I looked at it, I was like, oh, it's Grand Marnier. Oh, Grand Marnier does
have cognac in it.
Yeah.
Hey, what's, oh, no, I'm thinking of Drambuie. That's a nice sweet drink. But it's got no place in this conversation.
But it does, Jeff, because I get Drambuie, what I just talked, Grand Marnier, and what's the thing, Tim, you like to put on ice cream?
Hennessy?
DiSorono.
I get the three of those. Those are in the same brain space for me.
I feel like Grand Marnier is pretty popular because it's added to like Cadillac margaritas and
good
soufflés.
Floater. Yeah. And hey, Cointreau, the love of Cointreau, too.
Yeah. Cointreau feels like it's the orange in there is really bumping up your taste profile to make it something delicious.
Taste profile is something that like foodie people say where you're like, you
could
just
say taste.
I have no
idea what it means. Yeah.
You could just say taste, but then you say taste profile and I'm like, oh.
Well, this taste profile sucks.
This taste profile is like shit.
Yeah, this has a taste profile of St. Bernard excrement.
Mike, dog shit.
Yep. This is good, man.
Why is this? This tastes very appropriately autumnal.
It does.
Why?
It's got the autumnal look too. It's a sort of a
brown,
sort of a maple syrup look,
like a fall turd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like a fall turd, a turd fallen.
Yeah, a big old lump of autumn turd.
Like, I mean, Saint is there Bernard anything that's brown but isn't autumnal? Can you think of even one thing that if you saw it and it was brown, you wouldn't say, hey, fall is here?
Chicken nugget.
I'd have to say, I would say the UPS group.
Okay.
Because I see those guys in the summer and I'm not thinking, we still got to start getting the rakes out.
Remember when UPS, they changed their tagline to what can brown do for you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully not much. Now,
did they know when they started calling themselves brown?
I know.
Is it possible they thought that was cool or were they trolling and it doesn't matter?
I know. Like,
they got us talking. We're talking companies about it on the pod.
Yeah, yeah.
They're getting free publicity. They ain't paying us for an ad read.
What can brown do for you?
People shouldn't refer to themselves as a color. That's strange, but you guys know I back the blue, right?
Wait, what?
I back the blue.
The police?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Oh,
Jefferson. Law enforcement?
Uh-huh. I think you're trolling.
Yeah, I'm trolling. Let's talk about the taste.
Wait, I have something to say.
Okay.
Well, then out with it, my boy. 'Tis the most perfect format indeed for speech, the podcast. Oh, what a drink we have, my boys.
This is the perfect medium for me sharing what I have to say. Remember this summer I went to Louisville, Kentucky, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
Louisville.
Yeah. Louisville.
Louisville. And I had a little bit of a culture clash moment there where me and my high school friends were doing a little trip. And then the first night we were there, we're like, let's go out to a bar. And we went to what is the equivalent of like Universal City Walk, you know, like a very corporate set of bars. Mm-hmm. And there was a place called like PBR Louisville or something. And I don't know if it's owned by Pabst or what, because Pabst is not headquartered there, but anyway, it's this big bar, and it's Saturday night, and it's a club scene. But because it's Kentucky, it was kind of cowboyish. I want to say there was a mechanical bull. I don't know if that's – yes, there was a mechanical bull. And the bartender ladies were dressed kind of Coyote Ugly style.
Nice.
And the music being played was like hip-hop and club music, but kind of dated, you know, like, to the window, to the wow.
Yeah.
Till the sweat drifts off my. Okay, let's keep going.
Okay, I don't need to get into that. The clientele was kind of cowboyish, but dancing to clubby music. And then me and my friends are sort of watching. And then at 12:40 a.m., peak club dance floor popping off.
Yeah. Did they announce the peak?
Yes. Everybody stops. They start playing not the national anthem, but like a country song about America that was like, I love this country. And everybody, the bartenders stood up on the bar and saluted, and everybody stopped and they all looked up and they saluted a Blue Lives Matter flag.
For real?
Interesting.
Yes.
Was it that song? It's like, I'm proud to be an American.
It was like someone wanted to have that song for a new generation.
Oh, okay.
But
weird.
Yeah, there was an American flag and then next to it, a Blue Lives Matter. And everybody stood there and they saluted. And it was like a whole 3-minute song. And then everybody went back to the window, to the wow. Fascinating. Fascinating stuff.
Fascinating.
Is that... You know, so you say like cowboys and stuff. Kentucky is southern, more southern than I am, but I don't consider them cowboys. Like I think of Texas as Ohio. Cowboys. Oh, right.
It's pretty northern.
They don't do much cow wrangling.
Yeah.
Nah.
Hmm. You know what we should do? You brought up Universal City Walk. Next time I'm in LA, let's do a City Walk bar crawl.
Ooh, so you're talking Carl Strauss. You're talking the Hard Rock Cafe.
That's right. And we do maybe for Maine, we do it for a blowout. Who knows?
Maybe a little Buca de Beppo.
Ooh, that'd be nice.
Does the Hard Rock Cafe have any of our guitars hung up on the wall?
I brought a few over, and they said, get this crap out of here. The stuff belongs in a museum.
We don't put Epiphones up here, man.
Hey.
You don't. Ooh. Yo, somebody's got some nasty mic stuff coming through. Is anybody feeling that?
Crackling, I hear it.
You,
yeah.
Tim, you gotta get a mic or a stand or something.
What, you want me to order a $1 thing on Amazon?
Yes. We're in the age of Zoom. You're a professional podcaster and a musician. You need a microphone.
Yeah, but I taped up the base of this one.
Yeah, look, you taped. You did a great tape job all over that thing. No, it's all good.
That's good now.
I'll tell you, I like this drink. I'm not normally a rye guy, but you put a little cognac in there. Come on, and the Benedictine. Oh, that's always welcome. And the Peychaud's. Finally, the Angosturas can rest. They can have a day off. It's Peychaud day.
We've done some Peychauds recently.
You know, hopefully while the Angostura is resting, it can get its fucking label fitted on better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For Christ's sake, here's what I do. I buy my Angostura bitters, I swing by the tailor, and I say, help this guy out, man.
Can we hem the collar here?
Nip tuck. Do you mean that like collar you're on the air? Wow.
Yeah, this is a good drink. Did we cover what I wanted to say? Yeah, that's the City Walk. That's what I wanted to say. So go there.
So you're happy.
I'm happy. I guess the only other thing I wanted to bring up is, are you guys watching the TV? White Lotus season 2?
No.
I watched the first half of the first episode. I said, this is good. And then I sawed some logs the rest of the way.
Damn. You know, Jeff... You want to get, you know, you got to be like me. You got to get on a show.
I got to be like
right
you?
When it starts. Yeah, in this case. Because I didn't see season one. All right? I didn't see season one.
Yeah.
Hey, that's Jeff's worst nightmare is to be like you. He's got to do it.
He doesn't have to do it. But in this case, I think he should. But I was over at our Neil and Fran's house, contest winner and pickleback enthusiast, Neil and Fran.
Sure.
And it was Sunday night. This is when I was in town. And I said, you know, I never seen White Lotus. And they said, White Lotus 2 starts tonight. Let's watch. Mm. They'd seen season 1. You don't really need to see season 1, I'm told. And I'm watching. I said, this is great. It's a nice...
They shuffle up the characters, right? From 1 to 2? Like the actors are the same, but it's different or no?
Actors are different, except for a couple of them. Mm. But you're watching, and this is one... It happens very rarely that I'm watching the show that everyone's talking about. It happened with Squid Game, and it is happening now.
I love the
Mike,
feeling.
Don't sell yourself short. You watch Succession, yes?
That's true. I love that show.
Week to week, that's fun.
The rehearsal.
That's what I'm saying. Mike. I haven't watched the show. Yeah, the rehearsal I did too. But why do I think that's different? Maybe it's half hour comedy, so I'd be watching
Mike,
that anyway.
I think in this day and age, nobody feels like they're watching the same stuff as anyone because there's too much shit.
Yeah, that's true. There's too many shows. But it's fun. It's fun to watch the show because this wouldn't be one, like the rehearsal would be one I would watch anyway. This is one I'm like, I don't really know season one, but I got on board. I did that, you know, I started watching She-Hulk too when it came out and I lost track.
Here's what pisses me off. When I'm not watching a show, I feel like people are talking about it. It's Monday morning and I got to sit through 45 minutes of bullshit.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to talk about every last detail, don't they? And then when I am watching the show, I feel like we're being so respectful about spoilers. Oh, I haven't seen it. You haven't seen it. Oh, I mustn't say anything.
Yeah.
Why is it the show?
Tim, nobody wants to discuss Hemingway Part 7 with you at work.
That would be my dream. Oh, I wish I lived in Paris in the 20s.
Hey, you wouldn't be so far off with this drink.
Stop.
Ooh.
Mike,
stop. We're talking about the drink of the day.
The drink's from New Orleans from the
30s. I know, but still, you can say you call it, you know.
Well, here's what I want to say is I watched the rehearsal, right? Yeah, I love the rehearsal. I wanted to talk about it, and everyone's saying, I haven't seen that one yet. I never shut people up when I'm back. You know how many conversations about House of Dragon I have to sit through in my fucking shitty ass life?
I'll
just say this. I wish I was dead.
Oh,
and I'm not saying I'm going to kill myself. It's not suicidal ideation. I'm saying that I wish circumstances were to have me offed.
You're not saying that you're going to kill yourself, but you are sort of saying to me and Jeff, if we had any hand in it, you know, and I'm not doing that to you, buddy. I am not doing that.
And let's just say, if you were to, that my will would handsomely reward you.
Oh, yeah, great. Oh, I get all the cocktail books and that pillow I see in the background.
Yeah, who gets the big hamburger?
Yeah,
that's you.
You got to split the big hamburger. Wait, that reminded me. Maybe I mentioned this before on the podcast, but when I got my first writing job, and then I signed up for the WGA, and then I checked my benefits like real fast. You work up like pension points and all this shit, and like within the first month, I looked up my life insurance like to see, like, you know, I had barely racked up any points, but I was like, how am I doing? And I looked at it, said that if I died. Because I hadn't worked out any of the particulars, and I've since gotten married and stuff. But it said that if I died, my dad would get $1,500. And I love the idea of, like, Mr. Kalpagas, you know, your son, you'll have, well, he's dead. But here's, you could have a nice weekend trip. Go out to the Poconos, Dave.
Yeah.
In the tri-state area.
You can buy the cheapest laptop at the Apple store.
Not bad.
Yeah, no frills.
Take a look at some porno.
He's going to need his other kids to die for that Apple Care. Tim, going back, let's get real, let's get serious. Don't talk like that, and we're not going to do that for you. You're too close of a friend to me, and I'll need you around, and I'm not going to do it.
So you want me,
Jeff,
in your life.
I don't know how Jeff feels. That's right.
Yeah, I'm open to it.
Yo, you want, open-minded. Let's peruse the will and then see what we're going to do.
Hey. You guys are like books about autobiographies from comedy writers. People who were on SNL for one season wrote a book. Oh boy.
Deep comedy writers.
Every member of Monty Python?
All right, Tim. This sort of talk makes me want to hear about your final thoughts.
Oh.
On the drink.
Like my...
Not your life.
Not my last words.
No.
And not the last word, which is a delicious cocktail.
This talk makes me want to take a break first. I want to take a little bit of a break, and then I want to do final thoughts.
Oh, you don't want to do final thoughts in segment two?
No.
Okay. Because
I think it would throw the audience for a wild loop.
That would be weird. You know what, folks?
They'd say, hey, there's a new format over the Sloppy Boys show. Yeah. Oh, who cares? I care.
Folks, we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, you know what it is. It's final thoughts.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
And we're back with our final thoughts on the old square view career.
This is Oregon for me. No. I knew as soon as my lips hit that first orangey, warm tasting liqueur, I
and
said,
you spilled
this
it
is
all over the couch. Yeah.
Yeah. I know. This drink is so good, I don't hate it once it's spilled all over the counter. My coffee.
Okay, let me ask you, Mike. You seem pretty certain with your answer. You really love the drink. It's an order again. Follow-up question. Are there any ifs, ands, or buts about it?
No.
Wow.
Not happening. Not happening.
Damn.
Because I think we should keep a tally of ifs, ands, or buts.
No, usually we have a little bit of like, or again, but different style or...
No. With Hanford, it's final answer, dotting the I's and crossing the T's.
That's right.
For me, it's an order again. It's really good. This is a delight. I was afraid it was going to be another stinky rye piece of shit.
Nope. Sweet smelling rye.
Jeff, you know what's helping
fact,
me with rye?
Well, hold on. And in fact, it gets me excited about much anticipated Manhattan 2.
Episode.
The retrial.
Manhattan Revisited.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that when we do that, we need to say to ourselves, okay, guys, maybe we do that in person sometime. We say,
and by the way, we're not doing it to get in the good graces of the slopheads.
No.
That has nothing to do with it.
We're doing it. Let's do it together. Let's get top shelf everything.
Yeah.
Top shelf whiskey. Top shelf whatever else is in it. And we get a brand new sweet vermouth. One that's not old.
Let's do it in Manhattan so it's fresh.
Yes, when Jeff comes out for Christmas.
Yep.
No. No.
Fully has plans booked in L.A., family coming out to L.A.
There's always, nothing's set in stone when it comes to the holiday season, Jeff.
Yeah, you never know. Ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong.
Yeah, that's true. You never do ding dong, ding dong. Hey, I have two things to say. One, on the topic of rye, I was very not into it, and then I heard some bartender say, think of the difference of the whiskeys. When you think of rye, think of rye bread. That tastes rye. That made me think, oh.
Is that supposed to help?
It helped me. Not helping you? You're not salivating?
That's why sometimes if I have a pastrami sandwich on white bread, I couldn't find rye, I'll dip it in rye whiskey and eat it.
Oh,
Mike.
You just like that stinky little seed, rye.
It's the seed you need.
Now, those seeds in rye bread, that's not rye. That's caraway.
We don't know. I don't know.
Kerouac, one of my favorite all-time favorite writers.
On Golden, not on Golden Pond, on Walden Pond.
No.
That's Henry David Thoreau.
On the road.
There you go.
Yes.
I wish I was reading some more Kerouac. You ought to know about
this. Bill Joel,
thinking about his favorite author, Kerouacio. Jeff, what do you say? You ordered again? Ask Tim, too.
I already said... Mike, don't you dare grab the wheel here.
I'm not paying attention.
Tim, you've said, but you didn't say if it's an order again.
Who's that guy, that political news guy, Carnacki?
Yeah, Carnacki.
Should I do a comedy character that's like Jack Carnacki, and he's kind of a beatnik, but he's got his sleeves rolled up and he's covering the election?
No, you already got a great character, Kalpaki Carnacki. It's you.
Yeah.
You're taking your personality to the extreme, doing the fucking coverage.
I mean, and that's the beauty. If you have a character that's based on yourself, I'm halfway there.
Yeah. You just have to amp it up.
I go to SNL. I'm like, this character is Tim Kalpakis. This could be good for my show. my final thoughts on the view, Kathy, are order again, I absolutely love it. It gives me an appreciation for a stirred cocktail because this was very good with the cognac stirred. And I'll tell you this, every time in my life I've had a souped up Manhattan, I like it better than a Manhattan. Give me all
what do you mean souped up?
You know, we've had like five of them, like a Brooklyn and a Monte Carlo and a Toronto.
Yep.
Anytime it's a take on a Manhattan, I like it better than a Manhattan.
Wow.
Damn.
Bold words.
The bold and the beautiful.
That's our show. Follow us on social media at The Sloppy Boys, where we release these recipes ahead of time. And hey, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/thesloppyboys to unlock the Sloppy Boys Blowout, our weekly bonus episode where we talk about the shit we really care about, like best donut.
That's the good stuff.
Nice.
That's
good stuff.
Actually, we got the most engagement by a mile on best candy bar.
People love it.
Why do you think we're doing best donut?
Mike. Yeah, but you don't think people want to listen to the ViewCat, eh?
Sure they do. People, I think most of our listeners are Francophiles.
Sure.
Yep.
Francophones, at least.
Mm. Do you think anyone makes it this deep into an episode, though? At this point, you think we have zero listeners?
No, zero.
I don't think anyone's,
This is basically like the Good Nights. They don't care. They're tuned out.
I was thinking that here at the end of the episode is a good place for me to actually keep my sort of secret information, like my social security number and stuff. I'll say it here, and then it's there for safekeeping because I don't think
to preserve it. Yeah,
just so I know it if I need to remember.
Just listen to the View Carré episode at the end. I'll get to my stuff.
Anytime, like I'm talking on the phone to my credit card company, and they're like, "Yep, no problem. We'll just bring up that episode and skip to the end." And okay, great.
If you're on the phone with, that's good. Good. Pretty good.
All right, folks, it's a good episode, and why don't we meet right back here next week? But hey, this next week, bring a couple friends, why don't you?
Oh, yes, don't forget to rate and review, but what do we call it?
Don't forget to rank and report.
Rank and report.
was that what it was?
Yes, rank and report. Rank the episode and report back. No, report to rank and review. Review it. Report it.
Rank and report.
Tell your friends.
I also want to announce the drink. You know, usually we wait and we tease it on Instagram.
Yeah.
But we've decided that one time on Thanksgiving, we did an old fashioned, and it paired very well with the holiday.
Oh.
And I've been flapping my trap about the Wisconsin supper clubs and the brandy old fashioned sweet for a long time. So next week, for Thanksgiving weekend, we're taking a trip to Wisconsin for the brandy old-fashioned sweet.
Damn.
Nice. You hear that, cheeseheads? We're coming at you live on the podcast.
I'm looking forward to that. And in fact, Tim, I think we should do some variance of the old-fashioned every Thanksgiving.
I like that.
Oh! Love it.
I like it. I love it.
We don't have to commit to it now.
Yeah.
Just a little idea.
Well, there's the brandy old-fashioned sour.
Maybe are there any old fashions with the egg whites in it?
No, because usually an old fashioned is stirred, and if you stir an egg around, it's disgusting.
Well, here's the thing also. Old fashioned doesn't have any citrus in it, which is
that's what cooks.
Good to cook up. It cooks the egg.
Yeah.
In my head, anyway.
I'll tell you what cooks an egg. It's a fucking frying pan in my house. No, but on a serious note. One time, I was at a bar in Montreal, and I had a maple old-fashioned, and it was delicious. And
that could be another Thanksgiving.
That's good.
There you go.
You know what we should
do?
You go. So we got the next two, this Thanksgiving and next Thanksgiving set. What about three Thanksgivings from now, we do the Negroni Spagliato.
Oh, God.
With Prosecco in it.
What about, like, 100 Thanksgivings from
Tim, that would have ended the... That would have ended the pod so nicely.
No, Tim's got a good one.
My thing's funny.
It's not about being funny. It's about being timely.
It's about being done.
This is your pitch for two Thanksgiving. Here's
and
my
doing
good
a meme
joke
from 3 weeks ago.
Folks, here's my joke, and it'll laugh you out of the episode. In 100 Ooh, nice. Thanksgivings, we should do a fucking Dippin' Dots old-fashioned because it's the ice cream of the future, and we're out of here.
Okay. That's enough of this.